Our first lesson comes from Deuteronomy 30, chapter 15, for the starting. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from Psalms number, starting with verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season,
and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners
in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
Our next reading is from Philemon. It's chapter 1, verse 21. I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my child Osimius, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to me and to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by comparison or by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Good evening. Here she comes. Come on up, Opie. We got room right here for you. Got a special seat right there for you. Yep. Oh, you want to come up a little ways? You want to slide over? That's okay. She's littler than you are. There you go. Right? Little counts, right? Jesus says, little doors, little people, right? Got to become like a little one. Okay? All right. Well, you may remember last week, if you were here, that we talked about invitations. We give them, we get them, we say yes, we say no. Some of our friends say, I don't want to come to your party. I got better things to do. That maybe hurts our feelings. In baptism, God invites us into his family and calls us to be a disciple of Jesus. But not everybody says yes to that invitation. Some people say, nope, I just want to do things my own way. Why would I want to do things Jesus' way? Last week, we blessed backpacks and lunchboxes, and getting ready for school, I had a gift for you. Do you remember what that gift was? Nobody remembers what it was? Oh, my goodness, that's not good. Yeah, I'll give you a hint. Remember what we did last week, Hopi? Huh? Right? We talked about how a pencil with good lead is a good thing to have in school, and it had an eraser on it, but then we put a topper on it. It's got two erasers. Because what do we use erasers for?
Erasing
mistakes, right? And so in baptism, every single day, we confess our sins, and God is erasing them away. And then at the end, I said, here, I've got an invitation. If you'd like to, you can receive a gift. You can choose, right? You can choose a pencil. And Mason's mom was here, so she got pencils. Hope you picked them out, didn't you? Yep, for you, Mason, and Gavin, and Rowan. But your friend wasn't here last week. So I'm going to invite you. Would you like to choose a pencil?
Sure.
Okay, come on over here. See, it's an invitation, right? He gets to choose. All right. There you go. It's yours. It's been blessed. Now, we're talking tonight about choices, right? Are choices easy or hard? Well, this past week, yeah, it depends, doesn't it? Some choices are really easy. Sometimes, well, it's too bad choices, or it's too good choices. This past week, it was dessert time, and Nora didn't want dessert at supper, so later on, maybe later, right? And then I went upstairs, and I said, do you remember this, Nora? I said, would you like to have this donut with your favorite kind of frosting, maple frosting on it, or would you like to have ice cream? And what did you do? Do you remember? You don't remember what you did?
Yeah, you do. You said, this is a hard choice. It took you almost 2 minutes. And then she said, I think I'll take the donut. You're right, Mason. Some choices are really hard, right? Because we got two good choices. And then there's some things like, do we want life or death? Do we want blessing or curse? Like they talk about in our scripture lessons for tonight. Well, that's a little bit easier. Who wants to have curse when they can have blessing? Who wants to have death when they can have life, right? Yeah? Choices. Choices that we get. In the beginning, Adam and Eve had two sons. You remember that? Cain and Abel. Do you remember those two boys? They were brothers. And when the harvest came in, they had, well, Cain, he had lots of crops, and Abel, he had lots of sheep and stuff, animals. They're both farmers, but one had livestock, one had crops. And then it came time to come to church and to bring a gift. Do you remember what Cain and Abel did when it came time to give something to God? I'll give you a hint. Abel, he said, I've got all these sheep. I got to find the best one because God's the best and God deserves the best. So that's what he gave God, the best he had. But Cain, do you remember what he did? No, he didn't give God the best. You're right. Instead, he said, well, I got a bunch of crappy crop over here that nobody can eat. I think I'll take that to church and give it to God, right? And God wasn't pleased with it. But those were choices that Cain and Abel made, right? And eventually Cain got so jealous and angry that he killed his own brother. That's a high price to pay, right? That's extremely costly. He didn't make a good choice. He could have said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have been so cheap with God. But he didn't. Instead, he took it out on his brother, right? Choices. Some are easy, some are hard. Well, I'm going to give each of you an invitation card. This says Celebrating Friendship. It's a gift of God, Saturday, October 5th, 2019. Because I bet everyone here has a special friend, or maybe lots of good friends, right? More than one. And so what you get to do, this information on the back, you can go and you can invite somebody to say, would you come to church with me on Saturday, October 5th? Would you be my special friend? Because we're celebrating the friendship of Jesus. We're celebrating how good it is to have God as our best friend and to have other good friends too. Okay? Now, I'm going to give each of you this. It's your opportunity. But it's going to be up to you to decide or to choose if you're actually going to invite somebody. I can't make you do that. That's your choice. And that's the same thing with discipleship, you know. God saves us and calls us to be disciples. And we might say yes, or we might say no way. Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for choosing me. Thanks for giving me faith to choose you. Amen. All right. Anybody want an invitation? You want an invitation to give to a friend? There you go. You can bring a friend. All right. Your mom will tell you, you've got lots of friends. You just started kindergarten, right? So you figure out, Mom, I got all these good friends. Which one should I invite? And guess what? God wants to invite everyone into his family so you can invite more than one. Okay? Good. Thanks. Have you been to those places in your life where your mom or your dad says, nope, you can only invite 4 friends? We can't afford to have 15, 20 here. But isn't it wonderful being in the family of God where God says, children, have I got good news for you? There's lots of room in the kingdom of God for everyone. So get out there and in the name of Jesus, do the inviting. What an opportunity, huh? Choices for good or for bad. My way or the highway. Choices, the will of God, or my will be done. Choices, blessing, curse, life, death, the righteous or the wicked. We've got choices. Like, for example, Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, or choosing my own path and kind of scripting my own version of the truth. What a choice. So tonight, we're looking at our scripture lessons, and we're looking at it's a high price to pay. Because discipleship, which is what Luke proclaims, only because Jesus proclaims it over and over again. I know you're probably getting tired of hearing all about this discipleship because it's costly, and Jesus doesn't just stop with it. It's like a record that keeps going round and round, and the needle doesn't break off. You've heard me say it before. You've probably got it committed to memory. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That's from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Or put it this way, Jesus is not interested in asking for volunteers to be fair weather fans. He conscripts fully devoted followers. And what we find again in tonight's gospel, quite unpalatable, is the fact that Jesus doesn't make us feel comfortable. Jesus doesn't sweet talk us. He doesn't, sugarcoat the stuff that he gives to us. Luke 9:51. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. No turning back. No turning back. It's a high price to pay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but should have eternal life. Costly. For a parent, a father, to give his only son for a sinful, heathenous planet, for a world of scoundrels, it's a high price to pay. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21, where St. Paul says, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. It's a high price to pay. Or we get to our gospel reading for tonight that comes on the heels of some other hard words that Jesus spoke. You remember them when Jesus said, do you think that I came to bring peace? No. But division. To set parents against their children and children against their parents, and it's going to be a mess. It's the cost of the kingdom. It's the price the Father is willing to pay for our salvation. It's a high price to pay. So in our gospel for tonight, we hear that the crowds that are keeping company with Jesus, you picture that, can't you? It's a beautiful picture. The crowds that were keeping company with Jesus, he said to them, whoever does not hate their father and mother, whoever does not hate their wife and children, whoever does not hate their brothers and sisters, yes, and whoever does not even hate himself, cannot be my disciple. And then in case we missed it, he says, whoever does not pick up, bear, carry their cross, and come, cannot be my disciple. Well, this crowd that's accompanying Jesus probably thinned out. I mean, if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you think that this is one of your most favorite Bible verses in the whole Bible? My guess is nobody'd raise their hand. Because we live in a world right now where if you even breathe the word hate, you are going to be not just criticized, but put down and under. Hate is a nasty word. Choices, decisions. Sometimes the choice is easy, sometimes it's hard and more complicated, but there's nothing exactly palatable about the words of Jesus in our gospel for tonight. It's a high price to pay. Discipleship, or in the case of Christ, bearing our salvation for us. It's not cheap. And so Jesus gives a couple of pictures, illustrations, because everybody likes illustrations or stories in a sermon. So Jesus says, well, we could talk about a couple of things, couldn't we? If you're not catching my drift, Jesus says, if you're not getting the point, Jesus says, well, how about this? Does this help? You know when people set out to build something? You know how they usually figure out, well, what's going to be the price of this new vehicle or this new house, etc.? I mean, I need to know, because you don't want to start building it and then find out that you don't have the money to complete it. Because then it becomes an eyesore, and everybody that walks by or drive by says, who in the world did this? What an idiot! And then Jesus says, okay, you didn't catch my drift yet? Let me give you another example. What about a king or a country that's going to go to war? You better figure out if you can afford it. What's it going to do to the economy? How many soldiers do you have? How many casualties are there going to be? How many people are going to lose their lives? And if you figure out, when you do the math, that this isn't something you can win, well, then you better figure out how to negotiate for peace. Unless a person renounces everything, Jesus says, after he gives the two illustrations, unless a person renounces everything, they cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, it's not good for anything, not even the manure pile. It's a high price to pay. And yet, ironically, we hear these words, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit that creates faith in us to choose Jesus as Lord and to follow him, by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, most of you will probably choose to show up here again next week. Most of you probably will choose to show up here again next week. Because what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Some choices are hard. Some choices are inevitably easy. Whoever would save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it, Jesus says. What are you going to do, Philemon? You have a runaway slave that stole from you, and now he's met the Apostle Paul in prison, and he got converted to the faith. So now I'm sending him back to you, and I'll make full restitution. Not to mention the fact, Philemon, that you owe your salvation to my proclamation of the gospel. But I'll make full restitution. Oh, and by the way, you should know that he's like a son to me now. He's become a believer in Jesus. And so he's, well, he's not your slave anymore. He's your brother. So what are you going to choose to do, Philemon, with Onesimus? Because before, the name means useful. Before, he was useless to you, but now he's useful to you. What are you going to do? The choice is yours. But what's the alternative? You see, history tells us, tradition tells us, that Onesimus became bishop of the church in Ephesus. And he was put to death for the faith of Jesus. It's a high price to pay. The gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. In Genesis, Adam and Eve had a choice. Don't eat the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, it's all over. Game over. Dead. And they ate. There were consequences, choices, and choice-sequences. And the problem would not be resolved until the promise found fulfillment and the Son, Messiah, the Son of Adam and Eve, came and stepped on the head of the ancient serpent. It's a high price to pay. Genesis 22, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, up on the mountain that I show you and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Sounds like Jesus in Luke 14. Unless you hate, unless you renounce all that you have, you cannot follow me. And what does Abraham do? He does it. Not because he's sadistic, but because, as the writer of Hebrews says, he believed. He had the faith of Jesus that God can even bring back from the dead, that the promise can never be voided when it's spoken by God Almighty. What about the Israelites and the choices that they have and how they were slaves in Egypt and then they got set free? The angel of death, the death of the firstborn of all that were not covered in their homes with the blood of the Lamb, and all of those soldiers that pursued, that drowned in the Sea of Reeds, and then they get through the Red Sea, and what happens? Spies are sent by the order of God into Canaan, and they come back, and they've got illustrations. They've got, look at what we brought back with us. When he said a land flowing with milk and honey, he wasn't kidding. Look at this, grapes the size of plums. Oh, but those Canaanites, they're big. And we wouldn't have a prayer if we went there. They would annihilate us. 10 of them said that. We're not going in. We're staying here. But there was Joshua and Caleb. Do you remember what they said? This is God's plan. We got to be on God's side because God has already decided that he's going to win. You don't want to be on God's side? You want to be on the losing side? Really? They didn't go in. 40 years, choices, consequences, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Do you remember what happened to that 2.5 million Israelites that came out of Egypt? Every single one of them perished in the wilderness during the 40 years, except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. And then those that were born in the wilderness that entered the promised land. It's a high price to pay. From Genesis through Revelation, my friends, read it. It's a high price to pay. But what's the alternative? Really? What's the alternative? See what you can squeeze out of maybe 50 years, 75 years, or 95 years here on earth? Good luck with that. Because that's it. But God sent his son, was willing to pay the high price so that we wouldn't perish, so that we could receive forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. This isn't a pipe dream. This is a promise. Now, you maybe saw in the news the last few days that a superstar quarterback by the name of Drew Brees got into some major trouble because he went and produced a 23-second video for Focus on the Family. He's been associated with Focus on the Family since 2010. And the reason for the 23-second video, all that's in there is Drew Brees, superstar quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, encouraging kids, get this, kids, October 3rd. Tell your moms and dads, your grandmas and grandpas to write it down. October 3rd, bring your Bible to school day. Started in 2014. So he does this 23-second video, and he says, my favorite Bible verse is 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. But how could you get in trouble for that? Well, he's in bed with Focus for the Family. And they're anti-LGBTQXYZ, right? Well, he responded and said, I was just doing a promo to encourage kids to go to school with their Bibles. And then he created his own video. He's done some serious backpedaling. Because you see, I think Drew Brees has learned the hard way that if you're going to follow Christ, there will be a price to pay. And I'll be honest with you, at least from what I've read, Drew Brees is not prepared right now to pay that price. Because in his video, he says, Christianity is all about love and forgiveness and acceptance and welcoming and what we call inclusivity and tolerance. It's not about hate or prejudice or inequality. I didn't know that Focus on the Family was anti-gay. Well, of course they're not anti-gay. They're not anti-anything except for sin. Focus on the Family is pro-family. Focus on the Family is pro-traditional marriage between one man and one woman. But that's an unforgivable sin, my friends, in today's world. And so, Drew Brees, protecting himself and his large monetary estate, I believe, had to do some backpedaling. Because if he stayed the course, there would have been a price to pay for him, his professional career, his endorsements, his family, etc. That's no lie. He decided, I better play it safe. Because Christianity, he said, is about two things. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The first principle, loving God, that needs no explanation. But the second one, that means that, well, it's all about love and respect and tolerance, regardless of a person's religion, regardless of a person's preferences, sexual preferences, etc. Nothing matters except love and respect and, you know, really? You see, there's choices. All of our scripture readings for tonight are telling us about how costly it is to actually make a choice. To raise our kids, for example, or our grandkids in this world right now, where everything is being neutralized. Because we want a palatable Jesus. We want a soft sell Jesus. We want a sugarcoat Jesus. We don't want anything that costs. But I'm here to tell you that there are Christians in the world who understand exactly what Jesus is saying. In Luke 14, when Jesus says, unless you hate, the Aramaic word for hate doesn't mean hostility or resentment toward. It means to love less. And you've heard me say this before. When we love Jesus the most, then we will love others the best. When we love Jesus the most, the revelation of the Father's heart through the endowment and bestowal of His Holy Spirit, we will love others best because we will be following a righteous and holy God. So in India, over 1 billion people, 5% or less Christian, central India, there is a woman, Kumul was married when she was only 11 years old. No, I'm sorry, got to backtrack. When she was 11, having been born and raised into a Hindu family, when she was 11, she secretly went to a church and she became a Christ follower, which is not good in India. Lots of persecution. In 2014 and again in 2019, the prime minister that was elected believes in Hindu nationalism, and they have a goal that they would like to eradicate all other faiths by 2021. So there's a tremendous price to pay for becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus in India. And Kamul got married then when she was 16, had a child right away, and then had another child 4 years later. And right after the second child was born, her husband died suddenly, unexpectedly. And everyone in the village blamed her and said, it's because you're a Christian, you brought a curse upon your family, upon yourself, upon our village. And then she tried to provide for her children, a newborn and a 4-year-old. She had a job driving a bus lost it because she wouldn't renounce her faith in Jesus. She got a job as a cook in a school, lost it because she wouldn't renounce her faith in Jesus. Trying to scratch out a living for her two little boys. Then, in 2015, tragedy struck again. Sickle cell anemia is what her little five-year-old came down with, and he died. When she brought his body back to the village to bury him, they wouldn't let her bury her son in the village. She had to bury him with her own hands in the dirt outside of the village, in the country. They refused to let anybody help her because she had made a poor choice. She was a Christian. She brought all of this calamity upon herself. She came back, and a little while later, there was a knock at the door. It was her father-in-law bearing an axe in his hand on the attack. And he said, "It's your fault that my son is dead and that my grandson is dead, and you are going to die." She went to the corner knowing that the end was near, and she could only pray this: "Jesus, I will not betray you. You have always been faithful to me, God, and I will not deny you now." Eventually, he laid down the axe, her father-in-law, he left. She doesn't know if he or someone else is going to come after her. But in April of 2018, when they interviewed her, she said, "I only thank God that he has counted me worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus." She understands exactly what Jesus is saying in Luke 14. Exactly what Luke proclaims the gospel of Jesus throughout his entire gospel. I'm not saying it's easy. Jesus didn't say it was easy. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple has to take up their cross, has to renounce everything they have. They have to hate," in other words, they have to love everything and everyone else less than me. But what's the alternative? It's a high price to pay. But what's the alternative? What time is it? Decision time. And the choice is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.